This morning, we are beginning a new sermon series, and it's one I'm really excited about. It's called Half-Truths. Half-Truths. I'm excited about it because I think it's important for us to come together as a group of believers, as a church community, and to name the things that we sometimes say and do out of a sense of needing to have all the answers. Out of a sense of wanting to identify who God is and what God's role is in our life, but sometimes not knowing exactly how to pinpoint God's presence, not knowing exactly how something in Scripture relates to our daily lives. Half-Truths is a sermon series for all of us to start to ask some of these deeper questions, to start to identify who we are and whose we are and what makes sense to us and what doesn't make sense to us as people of faith. Today, our half-truth that we're going to be focusing on is everything happens for a reason. Raise your hand if you've heard this phrase before or said it or had it said to you, everything happens for a reason. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Where do we get that idea in our beliefs about God, and where do we get that idea in how we read Scripture? The Scripture I want to share with you now is from the book of Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter. Just one verse, but it packs a punch. It says, "He, God, has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end." Everything happens for a reason is just one of the Christian cliches or platitudes that gets thrown around. We can think of others if we try, right? God helps those who help themselves. God won't give you more than you can handle. Money is the root of all evil. Love the sinner, hate the sin. These are the kinds of half-truths that, yes, make some sense to us, that, yes, we can rationalize and we can explain, and, yes, we have experienced in our life. But perhaps there's a part of these cliche phrases or platitudes that don't make sense to us, that rub us the wrong way, or that sting a little bit when we hear it because it doesn't line up with what our experience of God or of life has been. These are things that Christians say all the time. They sound Christian, don't they? It's something you might find in the Bible or see on a church marquee or hear on the radio. The other day I was in a store, I was in Kirkland's looking for some home decorations things, because we've got all these big walls that are pretty bare at my house. And I walked through that store, and I found a little tile, a little canvas tile that said, "Everything happens for a reason." And it had a picture of the cross at the bottom of it. And I thought, oh, how timely, how relevant. I can talk about that in my sermon. These phrases are everywhere. They're everywhere in the church. You might have heard a sermon where a pastor told you these things, or where you distilled the message to have that be the takeaway. They capture an element of truth, yes, but sometimes these phrases, like everything happens for a reason, can be manipulated or misconstrued or miss the point. As people, as normal everyday people, we speak to what we know, to what our life experience has taught us. We've learned from our mistakes. We've picked ourselves up. And we've tried to move forward. We often do so from a position of privilege. If everything happens for a reason and life is going well, your finances are secure, your kids are happy and healthy, the dog is wagging its tail, that's great. Everything happens for a reason makes sense. But sometimes, maybe you've been fed this phrase and it didn't make sense to you. It felt like it had been used inappropriately or without care, because the stuff, of your life was pretty overwhelming in that moment, and you couldn't make sense of it all. Half-truths can quickly become harmful or hurtful, and yes, even hypocritical. Some of the half-truths that I named before, God helps those who help themselves, God won't give you more than you can handle, love the sinner, hate the sin. Some of these things have been used and have caused personal and theological damage. And it's pushed people away from the church. It's pushed people away from their faith in God. And so for me, when I look at these things and I think about the way I use my words, I always have to remember that words matter, that the things we say and do matter. The way we represent God and God's message of hope and love in the world matters. So because words matter, first I have a confession to make. I have said half-truths before. In my life, to my family, to people I love, even sometimes in ministry. I've said all of these half-truths, especially early on in my faith journey, before I really understood what they meant, before I really studied the Bible or discerned my beliefs about God. For years, I took these Hallmark Christian sayings and what the greeting card said and what the little tile in Kirkland said. I took them at face value. I took the lessons my Sunday school teachers had for me, the things that my previous pastors had for me, and I didn't question any of it. Because the voice of God is embodied in the powerful truths, in the powerful lessons that we learn here in this place. And that's why I think it's so important that we examine them together, that we unpack some of those loaded statements. Perhaps the one that we're on today, everything happens for a reason, is the most common. And I wonder why that is. Why do we always catch ourselves saying, oh, everything happens for a reason? Well, I think it's because we live in a world of chaos and conflict. There are lots of unexplainable things that happen in our daily lives, in the places where we go to school, in the places where we work, on the roads that we drive every day. We live in a world of cause and effect, and our actions create consequences, don't they? Our choices produce results. The things we say and the things we do influence the outcomes of our experiences and that of others. This is a real dynamic that we see play out in everyday life. If you went outside this last week and you knew how cold it was, what would have happened if you didn't wear your down coat and your hat and your mittens and your gloves and you stayed outside for more than 10 minutes? The cause and effect of that choice would have been brr, right? You would have been cold. You would have been exposed. You may have had some windburn or some frostbite. If you pour hot sauce on your taco dinner, you're going to see some results from that, right? You're going to drink more water. You might have heartburn later. I will. I know that. And then you'll go to bed wondering why you made that choice. If you arrive late to work every day for a month, it's going to produce certain results, certain consequences. Your boss is going to have a little come to Jesus moment with you, where he or she sits you down and says you can't be late anymore. You'll get a written reprimand, or you'll let go from your job. If you text while you drive, we know there are consequences to this choice. There's a cause and effect from being a distracted driver, from being someone who makes this choice. You might get an offender bender. You might run a red light. Or worse, cause a terrible accident. Does everything happen for a reason? Yes and no. In certain situations, we can explain, we can rationalize, we can talk ourselves into why everything happens for a reason. Consequences, choices, and results sometimes lead to problems and suffering and turmoil in our personal lives. More often than not, we find ourselves saying everything happens for a reason when something bad has happened and we can't explain it. When we're trying our darndest to find some glimmer of hope, some reason or rationale that will help ourselves or someone we know and love. When someone dies unexpectedly, we let the platitudes roll off our tongues. They just come out of us, don't they? God needed another angel. It must have been their time. Everything happens for a reason, even if we can't see it yet. We want to appeal to this mysterious and higher power of our God, our Creator, when human knowledge and modern-day science and our ways of knowing come up short. Right? That happens. The idea that everything happens for a reason is comforting and it's reassuring. It's some tenet of our faith that we can cling to when we don't know what else to do. We cling to a God who is good, who is gracious, who is powerful, who is present with us, who knows everything, who sees everything, who walks hand in hand with us. Everything happens for a reason is what we say when we're searching for God, when we're searching for control, when we're afraid, when there are many unknowns piling up all around us. And we're questioning, why do bad things happen to good people? But would we say this when a young child is diagnosed with a terminal, incurable illness? Would we say this when someone we love has to endure a period of suffering and they've done nothing wrong? Would we say this when a healthy, young, newly married couple tries to have a baby and suffers one miscarriage after another? Would we say everything happens for a reason when an earthquake brings a tsunami upon a coastal region in an already destitute and third world nation? Everything happens for a reason needs to be called out as baloney in these situations. Everything happens for a reason is not appropriate in every time and place, and I'm sure you all can think of other examples when it just doesn't work, when it just doesn't click, when it doesn't make sense, and we want to resist or reject that idea altogether. It's a half-truth. It's a half-truth. And ministry with you all, with real people living real lives, sometimes with very difficult, with overwhelming situations, have taught me that we need to examine the things we say, the way we represent God and our faith in the world. In my studies, in my quest to know more about why we say things that sometimes don't make sense, why we let these half-truths roll off our tongue, I've come to understand that everything happens for a reason has its root in history, in some very historical and long-time held beliefs about God. There's a big word that talks about God's providence. God's providence. And ultimately, that means that God cares for us. God provides for us. God loves us. And so God's going to act on our behalf to fulfill our needs, to keep us healthy, to protect us and watch over us. God's providence is one of the historical ideas about who God is and how God acts in the world that helps propel the message that everything happens for a reason. It's a comforting message. The other historical and big theological word we can talk about is sovereignty. Sovereignty. God is sovereign, and that ultimately means that God is in control, so much so that God sits at the control panel and moves the levers and pushes the buttons or plays like a puppet from heaven watching us dance below. Sovereignty is the idea that God, as the supreme ruler of all of creation and humanity, is the king, is the chief, is the commander, who makes decisions and acts upon those decisions, who has the authority and the power to orchestrate everything on heaven and on earth. So when we say everything happens for a reason, we are representing our belief in God's providence and God's sovereignty. Does that make sense? Now, I believe in providence and I believe in sovereignty, but I also believe in love. And for me, the idea that God is loving and that God is present with us supersedes the idea that God is in control and that God has orchestrated every act, every decision, every cause and effect that we experience in our lives. For me, the idea that God loves us so much that God will walk with us no matter what kind of stuff happens in our lives is more important than whether I believe that God caused the polar vortex, that God made one person sick, that God was the cause of someone who needed to respond to a text while they were driving. There are cause and effect, yes. There is providence and sovereignty, yes. But more importantly for me, as a Christian, as a United Methodist, as a pastor, is love. I believe that if everything happens for the absolute reason, that we need to reframe that idea. We need to reframe it and say, in everything, God is with us for a reason. That no matter what happens in life, no matter how many bad things happen to us, no matter how we respond to those things, no matter how our world shakes, God is with us in everything for a reason. If we lean more towards the truth that everything happens for a reason, then we have to play that out. What does that mean for us? Does that mean that God picks favorites? Does it mean that when bad things happen, God is testing us or forcing us to learn a lesson? If everything happens for a reason, does that mean that God wants us to suffer or squirm under his thumb? If everything happens for a reason, then why do we even bother? Why would we even bother to try to do good in the world, to love others, to seek justice and kindness? If everything happens for a reason, you see, sometimes we can let go of our personal agency and our responsibility and put our whole stock in the belief that what God has planned will be executed and we are predestined to certain things. Maybe that's a good life. Maybe that's a wonderful long career. Maybe that's health and wholeness. Or maybe that's just that we are going to be dumped on day after day and nothing is going to go right and we're left to lick our wounds by ourselves. My friends, that's not the belief that I hold. That's not the God that I love and serve. That's not the position of the United Methodist Church. These theological values and ideas are broadcast at a pretty high volume, though, aren't they? Sometimes it's hard to turn off those voices because they carry a lot of weight. So if you need to turn down the lesson that everything happens for a reason, if that is a statement that doesn't make sense for you today, let me offer some other things that might make a little more sense, that might be a little more helpful and life-giving. That in everything, God is with us for a reason. God is active and involved in our daily lives. God loves all people equally and doesn't pick favorites, but loves us unconditionally. So much so that when we come together, God knows our name. God sees us for who we are as beautiful and beloved and unique people and wants to be in relationship with us. In just a few moments, we'll come to the altar table to celebrate in Holy Communion, which for us as United Methodists and for us at Open Door is an act and a sacrament, a reminder of how one day the whole body, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been or what has happened in our lives, is loved unconditionally by God. We are met here and we all have a place here because we are equals in the sight of Jesus Christ. Whether we've been hurt or whether we're carrying pain, we can bring it to this place. We can bring it to this table. And we can receive our strength in the gift of this bread and this grape juice that reminds us of the tangible presence of God that will never leave us, that will never forsake us. In today's day and age, I know that we want to cling to the idea that God is in control, that all things have a purpose and a meaning and are significant. And as we make those statements of faith, we cling to the idea that God is not distant, that God is working in our lives, that God is love and is bringing about the best in every situation. Everything happens for a reason. Yes and no. I firmly believe that God does not cause our pain, that God is not the one who causes the harm or the hurt that we experience. God is not the one who decides a child would have a brain tumor, or that our grandmother would suffer after a fall. God is not the one who causes the fire at the gas company. But God is the one who is with us in everything, who is with us for a reason. And for this reason, I can stand before you today as someone who has been told these half-truths before, someone who has said these half-truths before, but now comes to question them because our words matter. There's a person who is a bit of a wordsmith, who's really good with words and with talking to people on a level that we can understand. His name is Fred Rogers. I like Mr. Rogers a lot. And Mr. Rogers is someone who says, in times of trouble, always look for the helpers. In times of trouble, always look for the helpers. I believe that God is a helper, and that in times of trouble, God comes to our aid. I also believe that each one of us are called to be helpers. We're called to use our words in ways that help and not harm. We're called to respond to terrible situations, to suffering, to trying moments by helping others. It is through us that God is able to be present in the lives of people who are in need, to be working in the midst of situations that feel overwhelming, that feel really sad, that feel unmistakably trying. I'm a person who believes that just in last week, while we had the polar vortex, that God was not the one who caused the fire at the gas company, where the facility burst into flames and the state's supply of gas was put on hold. But I do believe that God works in our lives and was able to inspire everyday people like you and me to turn down their thermostats to 65 degrees, to lead employers to shut down their automotive plants so that they could consume less electricity and keep their employees safe. I do believe God was at work in the hearts of the people who made that choice so that others could continue to have what they needed, to continue to stay safe, to continue to warm their houses, continue to keep their utilities on and functioning at the level that they needed. In the midst of that time, I know that we were all asking why. And why is a big question. It's something that people of faith are allowed to ask. We're allowed to seek out answers to things we don't understand. But I don't think that it's prudent for us to always put the blame on God, to always seek to put the answer in the hands of someone we know to be responsible for love and grace and salvation. So as we go from this place, first we will come together at the table that Christ has set for us, the place where we can come to receive a gift of love and the strength to carry on no matter what is happening in our daily lives. And then we'll have the strength to take ourselves just as we are out into the world, whether we're people of faith who are full of questions and doubts or think we have the answers today. We'll take ourselves out in the world to share that love with others who need it, with those who are walking a hard path, with those who feel alone, with those who feel like they've been dumped on time and time again. That is our job today. Not to offer platitudes or easy answers or to throw cliche phrases out, but to simply be present, to offer that gift of hope and love, that in everything, God is with us for a reason. Will you pray with me? God, you are holy and you are good. And today we cling to you as a God who helps us and who loves us. We have seen your help and your love made manifest in our lives and in our world time and time again. And we know that you are present with us on good days and bad. So continue to walk with us this day. Reveal your presence to us and work within our lives, within the things that we say and do, so that we might be a blessing to others, so that we might use our words and our actions to help and to proclaim your message of love to the world. Amen.